Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 183. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And making up for last couple weeks, we got a lot of brand new movies to talk about. So we're going to get right into it with the latest J.J. Abrams Bad Robot movie.
I guess he produced it. So it's a Bad Robot movie.
Yeah, it's Julius Avery directing. And this, you know, we talked about it, I think, at the end of last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Basically looked, I mean, to me, like Wolfenstein. And I think it kind of, like, delivered on the on that idea. And I had a pretty good time with it. I don't know. How about you?
I had fun with it. It's a fun time at the movies.
Yeah, so it's like a... It's like an action horror movie, you know, set in World War II. Which, you know, I think action horror is, I think it's a hard thing to pull off well. Or at the very least, I you know, there's not a ton of examples of it. I mean, there are, but it's just, you know, it's not an overdone genre for sure.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of good examples.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, I was pretty excited for this. I feel I had a lot of fun with it. I think it's one of those movies like From Dusk Till Dawn or like Dog Soldiers or something. Well, more for Dusk Till Dawn, where it's like, and overall, this is like a war movie first.
Yeah.
And like the horror elements of it don't kick in until later on. You know, it kind of does like a switch, like where, like, and I forgot to talk to my girlfriend about it really, but like I didn't tell her anything about the movie going in. I mean, I know she had seen trailers for it, but I don't know if she remembered what she saw or whatever. But it would have been a cool thing, I think, to not know that it was like going to go into horror territory with, you know.
Yeah. And I mean that, and I mean, they marketed the hell out of this. So like, it was hard to avoid the fact that there were horror elements to it because they definitely sold that aspect of it in the trailers.
Like I could imagine, like if I didn't know anything about the movie, and I just went to go see it, like, being really excited by like that stuff showing up when it does. But even once it does, I think this movie is still like first and foremost like a smaller budget war film, you know, like that's what it's trying to do. It just has these elements thrown in, I think.
Yeah, I mean it's a very like slice of the war mission. Like it all takes place in one night. It's these paratroopers have one mission that they're going to set about doing. It all takes place in like this one little area of France. It's not a big sprawling movie.
It's like it's one of those movies that takes place over like almost feels like real time. It's not, but it's like it's over the course of a night.
Yep.
You know, you're following these soldiers on this one little mission that has a bigger, you know, implications for the war. I don't know. There's definitely some spoiler things I want to talk about, but I feel like maybe we should like rate it and stuff first.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cause there's a few, like just a few things. Like I feel like just hearing what we said right there, I mean, that was pretty spoiler free. And
I mean, without spoiling anything, I think it has some decent set pieces. It has some good like effects use. I think the performances by the cast are pretty good. The main character, he's pretty agreeable. I liked him a lot. They build a good band of like, I guess,
band of brothers,
heroes. Yeah. Well, and sister, I guess. Like the crew that they put together is quite well done. Like and I enjoyed all of them. They all have distinct personalities, and the villain is it's a Nazi, but it almost cartoonish in his handling. So it's kind of fun.
That's kind of what I thought too. My girlfriend was all like, "Oh, he was super scary," and I was just like, "I don't know." I mean, it's hard for me to tell sometimes, but like, I thought the same thing. It's kind of cartoonish, but I liked it. Like, it was fun.
Yeah, it worked. It's like, I mean, sometimes you need to, especially with, you know, what is actually happening in the movie, which we won't spoil, but like, you almost need to make, hey, Nazis are bad, but it's sometimes more fun to make them even more absurd than they were, to make them more evil than maybe they seemed in real life, just for the effect of like a quick, you know, hour and 45 minute movie.
I do like, these are not spoilery things, but there are a couple things that, you know, I would have liked to be a little different or better. Like, it would have made it better for me. I do wish, like, Nazis are absolutely villainous in this and all that, but I wish there was more of a wink and a nod to the present day and saying, like, yo, we still need to be fighting Nazis. you know, it's a perfect time and an opportunity to make a statement about that. And I felt like, and I was listening to Slash Filmcast review, and they actually said the opposite. They said that they do kind of say that at the end. And I'm like, I don't think so. And maybe we'll talk about that in spoilers, but I just wish there was more of a nod to our present difficulties. And the one other thing for me too is I thought it was going to go crazier near the end. That like it's a little more restrained than I expected, because there's elements that are introduced that we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah,
like I thought, like I just thought it was start to pull every trick out of the bag and just go nuts, and it's a little more focused on one like specific thing that's going on. But let's rate it, and then we'll talk spoilers for a minute. And if you haven't seen the movie and don't really know what it's about, don't want to know, just skip ahead a minute or two.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris?
I'm going to give it a 3. It's a strong 3 for me, but well worth watching.
I'm going to give it a 4. I thought this was really fun. Like, this definitely like shot into consideration for end of the year stuff. Like, I was like, this could be on the list. I don't know. Like, I had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, and just to talk a couple spoilers about it, like, yeah, there's just moments that I wanted to talk about that I thought were cool. Like, where their one friend, I think he's the photographer, gets killed. He gets like shot in the chest,
and but Boyce injects him with the serum.
Yeah,
yeah.
The whole sequence there was really good. Like, just because like one, it's just kind of like one of those like, damn, like kind of like shocking deaths. Then he just pops right back up, and he's alive, and he's talking. Then he's like, wait, what'd you give me? Ah! And he's like, smashes his head into the beam.
Raging out, yeah.
And then, like, I think one of the best effects in the movie, him, like snapping his fucking, whatever, what are the shoulder, that shoulder bone called there?
The shoulder blades?
Whatever, out of his fucking, snap it, like, out of the side of him.
Yeah.
Out of his shoulders or whatever, like, oh my god, dude. That was cool. I love there's like a shot near the end where they're like about to blow up, like, you know, the whole mission, like blow up his tower or whatever.
Yep.
And it's like a one long shot of him running out of the fucking running out of that tower.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool, dude. Like, I was pretty wowed by it, like, at the end, like, when it fucking blew up. Because this is, like, some of these smaller budget, like, war movies are, like, this are good at masking, like, the fact that they are low budget. And, like, this movie is definitely low budget. Like, a lot of it is in just, like, a house. you know.
Yep.
But that was like a cool, neat, like this effect shot there at the end. I'm sure it was all fucking fake, but it was cool. I don't know what anything you want to discuss in spoilers.
I think like so for me, you know, where you said like it seemed like it was ramping up to like kind of go all out.
It didn't go as insane as I wanted.
Yeah, and I think that it just. And some of that I think is just like, you know, it is a lower budget kind of a film. But it does, it like just feels like wasted potential somewhere there. It's like, I just wanted you to go a little bit more crazy. Show me a little bit more with the monsters. Like, because for as much as they hang over the story, there's really not that much of them. It's just well done in, you know, in how they're handled and shown. But you don't get a lot of action with these creatures. I mean, kind of want to call them zombies, but I guess they're like, they kind of are, I don't know.
You know, I was expecting like, you know, just monsters and all sorts of other experiments to just, you know, I just thought it was just going to keep trying to top itself. You know what I mean?
But yeah, like they kind of like their big thing is, you know, once this Nazi captain, who's in charge of this area of France and particularly this lab, that's in this castle, Wolfensteinish castle, they everything is kind of spent on him and like how he looks. Which is great. Like he is given some phenomenal, like makeup work, and he looks the part. Like he looks like a straight up villainous, almost like a cartoon character in a way. Like because he like it's absurd the way he looks, but it's gross and
it looks cool. It works
real well and. And then, like at the end, it kind of goes a little like we're gonna go a little superhero-y with we're gonna inject like this other dude with it, and these two superhuman, not quite dead dudes are gonna fight. I don't get the what'd you say, slash film cast that
All right, because at the end, David Chen recalled him saying at the end, like, well. You know, the fight's not over. We gotta go kill more Nazis or whatever. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, you know, it was kind of like a
no.
call to arms today. And no. I was like, I think he's misremembering it because he says Hitler. Mm. Like the guy does say at the end something about like, yeah, you know, what now? And then the guy's like, we're gonna go get Hitler. And what I thought of is they're setting up for just the sequel. Like the sequel would be. Now you get to the Hitler level.
Or,
you know what I mean?
Or the fucking fact that, like, for them, the war just started. Like, that it takes place on the eve of D-Day. Like, there's plenty of war left to go. Like, I don't see the correlation between, like...
Well, there's a way to write that as a nod. To, like, you, the fight against Nazis never ends. Something like that. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna be fighting these guys for the rest of our lives.
I think at that point we are maybe looking a little bit too much into this film. Like I don't think that's what this is trying to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that there's an opportunity. Just in my opinion, there's an opportunity to make a nod towards that.
Sure, I honestly don't think that the team that made this though was like they're trying to make any sort of political statement at all. They like guess what's cool, Nazi zombies and killing them. Like I really think that was the like extent of their like thought process was they played fucking you know they played Wolfenstein, they played Call of Duty Zombies, and they made a movie about it that actually works pretty well. I really don't. I don't see like I. Yes, you can make. There are certainly statements to be made, but I don't think that this film was attempting to do any of that.
I'm pretty much. I think I'm agreeing with you. I just. I wish. I'm saying
Oh yeah, you wish it was there.
I'm saying it could be the same movie, and you could do a little wink and a nod, just because the environment's ripe for it. Like, it's like, how do you release a? I guess, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like one of my little knocks is like, you know, how do you release a movie about Nazis today and not say like, hey, by the way, there's people still like that. You know, like, you know, I just
sure
whatever. But no, I mean, I guess the last thing I was gonna say about it is just like. I liked it. I have a feeling I'm going to like it more as time goes on. Like, I'm already, like, thinking, like, I want to see it again. Mm-hmm. I probably will rent it when it comes out, at the very least. So, yeah, I it's too bad that it didn't make a lot of money, but I think it will have legs, you know, in the future, like, on video and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, you went and saw the other movie that bombed.
Yeah.
This last weekend, it was The Girl in the Spider Web.
Yes, spider's web, okay. As in, like, the web of a spider. Mm-hmm. It's that spider's web.
Yes,
it's weird.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is. I guess the fourth movie in like the Lisbeth Salander. Kind of stories here, based on the novels by Stieg Larsson, the second American film, which kind of follows up, the Girl and the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, this series is convoluted, but yeah, this is technically like our second.
Is technically the fourth. It's the fourth. It is based on the fourth book in the series. I have never read the novels, so I can't really speak to that. Yeah, stars Claire Foy, directed by Fede Alvarez, who did Don't Breathe, which I enjoyed last year.
Yeah.
He also did a 2013's Evil Dead remake, which I was not necessarily in love with. But this is not a horror film. It is more of a techno spy thriller. And it's perfectly fine. Like, it really is. It's fine. I liked it. I have since gone on and read some thoughts of people outside of it, and
those swaying people, you,
huh?
Are they swaying you a little bit, or
No, not really. Like, because I don't give a shit about the books. I haven't read the books.
I heard that book was bad.
I've heard that as well.
It's like the guy died, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. So the book was written by this guy, David Lagerkrantz.
Gotta be such a weird job. I'm a writer, but I'm picking up someone else's torch here.
Yeah,
and writing their
continuing to write their characters.
Yeah, that's so strange. But yeah,
in preparation for this, I kind of went back and watched the other two. The Swedish language films from, let's see, 2009 that followed up Noomi Rapace, Michael Nyquist. They starred in those, The Girl Who Played With Fire and The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. And they all kind of follow this story of this character, Lisbeth Salander. Those two in particular kind of tell a intertwined story where her dad was abusive, and so it's where she kind of got her attitude to fight back against men who like hurt women. He was also a crime lord of some sort, and it gets more and more absurd because like everything ties back to the Swedish government hiding out her dad, who used to be part of the KGB. He was a Soviet defector. There's some nonsense going on in this series. This ties in a bit to that, I guess. Like, it brings in her sister. I don't know. I don't give a shit. what it really is it's like fucking James Bond or Mission Impossible.
Some badassery, yeah.
Yeah, it's that type of movie, like, except with like a female lead. I think Claire Foy did a really good job. I love her. I like this character of Elizabeth Salander. Like, I don't know. It was a fun, like, techno thriller. Like, there's some badass shit going on in it. But yeah, I could see, like, if you are a fan of the characters from the book or whatever, and you're like, oh no, this is shitty. Like, fine, whatever. But like, just like taken. For me, as somebody who doesn't really have any affinity towards the overall story or narrative, this is pretty good. It's not the mystery, like the noir, like the kind of like new noir that the girl with the dragon tattoo was. Yeah. This is more of a like action thriller.
That's what I had heard, yeah.
I don't know. It worked for me for 2 hours. I wasn't bored. I was like, this is pretty cool. It was well shot. There's some cool scenes, cool set pieces. Claire Foy was good in it. I don't really care about any of the side characters. I don't know. It was all right. I'm gonna give it like a low 3.
Okay. So I might see it one day, but yeah. I mean, other than the fact that I like Claire Foy, I like to me.
I wouldn't rush out to go see this, and nobody else did. So
yeah, it's probably done for at this point.
I think it ended up being in a shitty situation because, it's coming off of David. Like the last movie in the series that anybody has seen was David Fincher's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, just fucking excellent. Like mystery movie, it's David Fincher, so like well shot, like really well done across the board. And then you bring in this, which doesn't have the budget, doesn't have the star power, it's not the same movie. And now you're asking people to like, hey, remember that thing from 7 years ago? This is the sequel to that, except we skipped over everything in between. So just ignore that. Whatever. It's fine. Just take it for what it is by itself, and it works.
All right. Well, maybe one day. But,
yep.
I actually went and saw the other little movie that came out in theaters. I actually
did well, though.
Yeah. I think it was number one, probably. Yeah. So we like basically saw all the big ones that came out this week. I went and saw The Grinch.
Yeah.
And I think you'd said to me last week that like there's only one Grinch to you, and that's from whatever year, like
it's like the 60s or something, yeah. I think.
It's like 22 minutes long. Yeah.
Yep. That's all the Grinch I really need.
Yeah. Well, it's like I don't know. This new one is like it's harmless, I guess. But it's like if you took that and gave it a new kind of, you know, it's illumination here. So like they're kind of like animation style.
Right.
Redo it, make it an hour and a half, and you have The Grinch from 2018. At the very least, like in my opinion, and I never saw these, but like, you know, at the very least, you know, it's animated again. You don't have fucking Jim Carrey hee-hawing around like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not like tongue-in-cheek or over-top or obnoxious or anything. It's like a sincere little kids movie, you know? It's totally fine. It's The Grinch, but an hour and a half long.
And I will say that, you know, like I made comment last week about how I prefer the original kind of cartoon.
Probably for a reason, right?
Yeah. But I do like the look of the Grinch here from what I've seen in the trailer. Like everything looks well. Looks
it's a pretty fine movie. You, in fact, as I was watching the movie, like looking at Whoville, I was like, man, I would probably buy a licensed video game of this just to dick around in this little Christmas world. Like, that's always like my favorite world in like a 3D platformer. And especially if they do Christmas theming to it, like,
right.
So, yeah, like it's beautiful to look at, but honestly, I was bored, you know, because it's not aimed at an older, like, it doesn't work, in my opinion, the way like a Pixar movie really does. It's not offensive to, like, it's not, like I said, not offensive or obnoxious to watch as an adult,
right?
I was just getting bored by the end of it.
These are adaptations of books that are like 20 pages long, and like four sentences on a page. Like, they have to add a lot of padding to it, which is why I really love like that original one. I think it works really well. It's just an animated telling of the, I mean, I actually think they read the book in that one, like, because it's all done by narration. How's that handled? Like, does the Grinch talk in this? Like,
the Grinch definitely talks, but okay. There is a lot of narration.
Okay,
and it's done by Pharrell Williams. Which, like, I don't know.
That's something.
I will say something I did not like is, you know, like the big song from the Grinch, like, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch."
Uh-huh.
That happens like fairly early on here, and it's got like a rap style.
Oh no.
It's done by, I'm looking at it now, it's done by Tyler, the Creator.
Jesus, and, like, come on, man. Like, that's a fucking classic song.
I have nothing against rap. Like, I love rap, but like, it felt
off,
stupid and corny, and I don't know. But there's a little bit of that tinge to like the whole, I'm looking at this whole soundtrack, there's like Run DMC on it, and but like the actual score is done by Danny Elfman, so okay. That's fine. But yeah, it's just fine, but it's nothing I would recommend an adult to go see without children. If you have children, it's fine. Go with them, take them to see it. But I'm gonna give it a 3 because, like, again, it's nothing wrong with it.
Sounds fine.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like everything that was in theaters this week.
Yeah.
I forgot. Was there something else you want to touch on? I know there's at least one other one I wanted to touch on.
Well, I kind of like threw in the other two Swedish films that I saw. So.
Okay.
What was the other one?
So the other one I actually just watched tonight. It's called Three Identical Strangers, and it's a documentary that just came out. And, you know, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but I will say it's a movie. It's definitely one of those movies where the less you know going in, the more you're going to get out of this.
Okay.
I would say it's okay to watch the trailer, and I'm actually going to reveal probably less than the trailer and what I say, but the basic setup of this documentary is there was this guy, and I think in like 1980, he was going to college for the first time and walking around campus, and everyone's walking up to him going, "Hey, how's it going?" And they're like calling him fucking Ed or whatever. He's like, "I'm not Ed. What the fuck are you talking about?" And he finds out that he has a like identical twin that he's never met.
Okay.
And everything I'm telling you here is probably like the first 10 minutes of this movie. You know, so he was adopted, and this other kid was adopted, but, you know, they figure out, like, we're born, as soon as they see each other, they can tell.
Right. Twins.
But, you know, they start to piece things together, and it becomes kind of like this news story. You know, and so it gets, like, coverage in the papers on, you know, TV, on the news. And this other guy's watching it, and he's like, "Those are my twins." And so there's three of them, and they become like this huge thing. They're going on Maury, they're going on all the talk shows or whatever, right? And that's just like the first 10 minutes of this documentary. that it, you know, it's about an hour and a half long. I think it's a little longer than an hour and a half. It goes places you wouldn't even believe. Like, it's insane. Like, it's an insane story. So it's basically one of those documentaries where it's just talking heads. It's people talking to a camera and they're telling a story. But this movie coasts. It soars along by how interesting the story is telling is. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, that's insane. Like, that's like out of a fucking Dean Koontz book or some bullshit. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, how is this real? And it speaks to, like, larger things, too. I was really floored by this movie. Like, it's concerned with, like, big ideas, big questions. Like, you know, who are we as people? Are we dictated by nature or nurture? You know what I mean? Like, what forms our identity? I would say it's safe to go watch, you know, it's called Three Identical Strangers. Go watch the trailer. But I would read nothing else on this damn thing until you've seen it. And it's a very, I'm giving it my highest recommend. This is 5 stars.
Nice.
This is one of those must-sees for sure.
Where's it available at?
I actually got it through disc on Netflix, but I'm sure you can rent it off
on demand
of Amazon or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's worth the $4 rental or whatever it is. I'm telling you. Amazon Prime Video, $6. Yeah, $6 everywhere.
Okay.
It's worth $6. This is worth watching, Chris. And in fact, we're going to end the episode just by talking about looking towards the end of the year. And, you know, is there anything that you feel like, do you have an idea, one, like what your top 10 looks like in your head, and what do you need to see still? What do you think? Is there anything I missed that you think I should see? Was there anything that popped out? Because I did bring this up to you earlier in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of do have my top 10 formulating.
Yeah,
I kind of know like the basics of it at this point. There are some movies that are coming out that I kind of want to see, but I'm not sure. Like looking back, I mean, we've seen a ton of fucking movies that have come out this year. I think we've hit the big ones, like, for the most part.
Well, for me, I'm pretty much good after this weekend because I really want to see Widows.
Yeah, me too.
But I think that's when my list starts to, like, solidify. Because you know what? It's never the Oscar stuff that tries to make it at the end, in my opinion. Like, those things fade so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I did really like, last year, you know, we talked about some of them that – you know, like Three Billboards you saw a little late and you're like, damn, that was really good, you know. But you know, the even that kind of fades. Like, I don't know, it's the movies that stick are going to be the ones that you really like love. Like, I mean, I'm not going to spoil my list here, but it's gonna be stuff like Mission Impossible, you know, like that's gonna be the stuff that you're watching years from now, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't even like the only other one that like is really jumping out at me is Welcome to Marwen.
You think like it has a chance or?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the trailers. Like, I think it has an interesting story to it. I mean, it could totally be a nightmare when it comes out, but
I'm worried.
It's like it's one that like at least has caught my eye.
And yeah,
like I'd like to give that a shot, but outside of that, like Widows comes out this week, I'm definitely going to see that, and then Creed 2.
I'm worried about that one too. Are you worried? Or are you fucking good? You're like good no matter what.
I don't know. Like, I mean, it plays off of like a Rocky that I really like, which is Rocky 4.
It's one that I liked more when I was younger, I think, and. Also, just the lack of hype. There's no hype around this damn thing.
Yeah.
No one's talking about it. It's like Creed 1 was a big deal when it came out. No one's talking about this one. I'm like, that gets me a little scared.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, I don't know. It's a pretty big sequel.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I still want to see it. That's next week, so
I think, yeah, that's another big one for me though, like for sure. So yeah, there's like Widows and that, and Creed 2.
but nothing really like that. I think like and none of like the
We got
Oscar,
catch up on.
yeah, none of like the
What about?
Oscar bait movies really are tempting me here.
And I'm trying to think of like what's coming still. We're in mid-November now, so what are the big Oscar ones coming other than?
There's quite Green Book,
Yeah, well,
which I have
yeah,
like
I have
no
thoughts
interest
on
in.
that. I don't know if you've seen me
I
bitching about that
have
movie. Yeah, I have thoughts on
it's
that.
I just I, it's not a movie that really enticed me to start with, but
Just the trailer of it, like I don't know. If there's people that enjoy it, fine, but it's just not for me.
And I do want to see Vice, but I don't know. That comes out on like December 26th.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's yeah. I want to see that, but I'm not worried about that. Like, in terms of affecting my list, even if once I do see it, I'm like, yeah, it's not gonna knock out some of the stuff I love this year. I really love, and that list is getting actually really packed at this point. Like, I do have kind of a I've started a file, I've started a list, and it's well over 10 right now, and I'm like, I can't cut any of these darlings. I love them, so. But yeah, for you, Chris, I will say, all right, Three Identical Strangers, put that on your list. Minding the Gap, I would say put that on your list. And then a little one, and I don't know that this will make my top 10, but I just think you'd really dig it if you've not seen it yet, Chris, and that is American Animals. I think I might have reviewed it on here. It's a hybrid documentary slash regular movie about these guys that tried to rob their college's library, like of this like $1 million book. And then like, did I tell you about this movie at
No,
all? Or
I don't think
okay.
so.
All right. So like, all right. Last thing here. It's a I thought a really cool movie. And it's like one that like nobody talks about. It came out this year. So it's a true story. And they have interviews with the guys who committed the crime. And so like it cuts between that these real guys talking about it and like a dramatization of that crime, right? And that alone is like novel and different, like for a movie to do.
Right.
And it's interesting. Like it's interesting how these guys talked themselves into doing something that like affected the rest of their lives. It was just insanely stupid, and the fact that like one thing I really loved about it is how they took care to actually plan the thing for months and months, right? But it's like it falls apart like a fucking Three Stooges skit. Like it's just like all this planning and then the things that you didn't think about. And someone drops a gun or whatever, you know what I mean? Like it's just like, and it just goes to show that just because you watch Breaking Bad or something doesn't mean you know what the fuck you're doing.
Right.
And that's kind of what this movie is. Like it's, I think this is like an overlooked gem. And when I thought of it again today, I was like, oh, I want this on the list, but I don't know if I can. But I'd say check that one out because that one like kind of like snuck it under the radar for a lot of people. But yeah, that's all I got for you. I mean, it's that and the ones we said going forward. It's only a couple, so starting to come together here.
It's we're getting towards the end, so
And it's always like my favorite episode, so let's a little over a month away. And I think we're gonna do the same thing again this year with we'll have like an awards episode too, where we give out goofy awards and shit. So.
that's always fun.
But as for next week, Chris, I'm gonna have Widows for sure.
Widows is definitely I'm hoping to see it tomorrow. Stupid people have scheduled meetings for me at the end of the day. I was just gonna like walk out and go to a movie, but
I think it probably won't be till Sunday for me, but I'm looking forward to it.
may have to wait. I'm sure my wife will want to go see the Harry Potter movie.
Oh
And
Lord.
I kind of want to see the Mark Wahlberg, Rose Byrne, family comedy that comes out called Instant Family.
Dear Lord, I don't think I've
seen. You haven't even seen a trailer. I've seen one.
I could picture the trailer in my head, though, based off what you said.
It's a. I mean, I like Rose Byrne quite a bit.
Yeah, I like her too.
Mark Wahlberg's fine. I know people hate him, but I don't have any. I have no like here or there. But one they basically another, like yeah. They want to premises. They want to adopt a like child, and they end up adopting like three, I believe like Hispanic kids. So it's kind of like a mix of like cultures coming together and. You know, hijinks ensue or whatever, but I don't know. It looked goofy and funny, like just something like lighthearted. Like it's not going to be any impactful type of film, but you know, something. Sometimes you just need like a little lighthearted film to get you through.
Yeah.
But Widows definitely we'll be talking about next week.
Oh, one more for me for next week. I hope to see Blind Spotting, which is another one on my list where I'm like, I need to see that before the end of the year.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw trailers for that. Got a lot of good reviews, and it looked the trailer.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailers for Blind Spotting, and it came and went in theaters like with the flash of an eye.
It's like a it's
if
like
you
a,
even got it.
It's like a black and white friend in Oakland, and yeah. I don't know what to make of what it's going to be from the trailer, but all the reviews, all critics seem to really like it. So, yeah, that's coming out next like Tuesday, so I'm going to try to
nice
hopefully see that too.
All right,
so we'll be back. More stuff. It's getting the best time of the year.
All the movies.
Yeah.
Movie dudes. Dudes.